We're tackling the complicated world of being a parent. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and this is the time of year when parents of school-age kids are trading stories about cobbling together that patchwork of camps and the childcare pinch hitting that goes on to keep kids occupied and supervised during these long summer months. And I recommend personally a summer spreadsheet. And I don't consider myself an overbearing parent, but it's really hard to keep track of schedules. And these are the same schedules that I plotted out months ago during the polar vortex when coveted camp programs started taking enrollments. So we're talking about how to hover less, worry less, and how to find the right mix of giving kids independence. You can join in at any point, 800-642-1234. As a parent, what do you worry about the most with your kids? How does that impact your life? Do you have ways to overcome your fears? And if you have more than one kid, how was raising your first child compared to the rest of your children? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Kathleen Schiltz is a licensed marriage and family therapist and the owner of Valley Counseling Associates in Neenah. Kathleen, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. I'm really excited to be here. I love your show.
Kim Brooks is author of Small Animals, Parenthood in the Age of Fear. She's here as well. Kim, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, Kathleen, let's start with you. Do you think we are currently in an age of fear and anxiety as far as parents go? What does it feel like?
I really do. I think overall we're in a culture of busy and kind of being on all the time. And I think it's definitely a time of fear and anxiety for parents as they tackle even just day-to-day activities. As you said, there is so much going on.
Does this show through in your practice when you talk with your patients?
It absolutely does. I've been reading a little bit of Kim's book, and she has this great example of how packing is different. I was just when you become a parent, I was just talking with a client yesterday about how much that changes just what you have to think about and what your brain has to do. When you don't have kids, you just kind of have to worry about yourself. So I think having kids definitely brings up a lot of worries and a lot of pressure and a lot of pressure to kind of do everything perfectly.
Kim, you write about and have reflected a lot on parenthood. Why do you think parents have more fear than in recent years? What is contributing to this?
Well, I think there are a couple things. Certainly one, I mean, the thing that jumps to mind first of all, and which I write about, is sort of media portrayal of various threats to children that are not statistically likely, but very sort of sensational and scary. And, you know, I give the example, like, it might have been, you know, a generation ago that you'd hear about, you know, bad things that happened to, you know, a kid in your town locally, but now, you know, something bad happens to a child basically anywhere in the world, and you can read about it on, you know, social media, on the internet. It makes us feel like every threat is a serious threat, and there's this sense, I think, that a lot of parents have of having to sort of constantly protect their children from the world, which I don't think is, you know, very founded or rational, but it feels necessary to us, and I think adds to a lot of stress and anxiety.
Kathleen, how do you gauge threat? You know, as you're talking with your clients, how do you help them navigate when social media is bombarding them with all of these threats and how they approach parenting?
Well, I definitely try to normalize with parents that being protective is quite natural. So it's something that I think actually makes you a great parent to try to be protective of your kids. And oftentimes I think, you know, there are real threats. There are things that do threaten kids, you know, emotional or psychological well-being. And so I think once that kind of enters the picture with parents, anxiety becomes a natural response to that and can become more of the problem than parents themselves. So I definitely try to approach parents from a standpoint of seeing anxiety or worry as a problem, not them. And I think worrying about kids has a lot of love in it. So I definitely want to connect parents back with what their great intentions are and also try to understand more about what they're afraid of and get some context for that.
We're talking with Kathleen Schultz. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist. Kim Brooks is here as well. She's the author of Small Animals, Parenthood in the Age of Fear. You can join in as a parent. What do you worry about the most with your kids? How does that impact your personal life? And do you have ways to overcome your fears about them? Have you ever felt judged in how you decide to raise your kid? What happened? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in David to the conversation. David from Green Bay. Good morning.
Good morning. My sons are, my wife and I raised three sons. They're all, my oldest is 36. I have 36, 33, and 27. And what I see today and what I saw even back then is parents trying to be their kid's friend. Or yeah, that's not your job, just to be their friend. And you have to keep them busy. But on the same hand, I think the news media does an awful lot in scaring people about the big bad world. Kids need to get their lumps. My sons, I never coddled them, although I was always there for them to reassure them that, you know, when my sons are having troubles, I taught them to swing back and also gave them responsibility when they turned 15, 16, were able to get a job. I went and filled out applications for bagging groceries, for whatever, and the phone would ring and my son would say, oh, Jesus, somebody called, they have a job for me. I said, great, let's go. And I made sure they went to work, and sometimes they didn't want to go to work. They were like, oh, I can't do this. I drove them down there, put them out of the car, said, go and have a nice day. Don't call me. I guess you could call it tough love, but they're all, my oldest is 36 now. They all went to college. They all married beautiful young, well, my daughter-in-laws are all educated, beautiful young ladies. They're very responsible young men. But the mistake I see made with some parents, too much coddling.
Well, David, I want to pause right there and get some reaction from Kim. And it sounds like, Kim, that David found a way to strike a balance in how he approached this, with his kids who are now all grown.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, he's on to something. I think that what children really want and need, and I'm speaking, you know, in my experience as a parent and then also as a writer who's researched this a lot, is they want to feel like people, you know, they want to feel like members of the community. And I think that sometimes as parents, it's easy to want to do things for them, to make things easy, to sort of, you know, make their experience of the world less difficult, less challenging, you know, to just do the chore for them, you know, rather than making them do it. And the problem with that is, you know, we might think in the moment that we're doing them a favor, but I believe that we're really not, because it doesn't make them feel like a part of the community. And whether the community is your nuclear family or a larger community, you know, everyone wants to feel like they're contributing, like they're doing something, like they're, you know, not just taking, but that they have a role, that they have a role. And, you know, I think that what he was talking about, you know, again, having kids do chores or have jobs, actually gives them a lot of the feeling of belonging that they really need to thrive and grow.
We're talking with Kim Brooks, the author of Small Animals, Parenthood in the Age of Fear. Kathleen Schultz is here. She is a marriage and family therapist, as you as well. 800-642-1234. So are you a free-range parent where kids learn by doing practically anything? Are you a helicopter parent, which is just about the opposite of that? Did you ever feel judged by how you decided to parent? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the issues facing parents today. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So how do you let kids be kids? Where do you set boundaries? We're talking about how to find that sweet spot, if there is one, between supporting your kids and coddling them, as we heard earlier. And there is a new study out of Brigham Young University that says helicopter parenting is less prevalent and less harmful than we think. So baby boomers, do you feel that you're still worried about your kids even though they're older? What are your concerns? Do you have added worries from having grandchildren? And kids and teens, do you think your parents are overprotective? We're at 800-642-1234. Join in at any point in the hour. Kim Brooks is author of Small Animals, Parenthood in the Age of Fear. And Kathleen Schiltz is with us. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist in Neenah. Let's go back to the phones now with Chessie joining us from Madison. Hi, Chessie.
Hi. I'm a mom of three young kids, and I feel like I'm a fairly naturally laid-back parent. But I feel like it sometimes backfires because I feel like judged by other people who are more cautious. And I think that if I ever had something happen to one of my kids, they'd be like, oh, well, she didn't take the precautions. So even though I'm naturally laid back, it's even hard to stay like that because of everything going on. So I just wanted to add that perspective.
Chessie, thanks. And have you ever felt judged? Like, was there a point where you said, you know, I feel like someone is looking down on me right now about why I'm choosing to be this relaxed parent?
All the time. And I think not to pick on them, but my in-laws are from the East Coast, which are naturally more paranoid and worrisome. And so constantly, not in a loving way, but all the time.
Kathleen, what are your thoughts here on what Chessie is saying?
Well, I definitely think parents face a great deal of judgment, and I think even judge themselves rather harshly, so that makes a lot of sense to me. I think it's important to find a balance, and I'm not sure if it's very easy to navigate where to intervene and where to let go with kids. So I do think kids have to build skills and confidence in navigating the world, and they do need our help and guidance, but they also have to learn through experience. So I do like the idea of, you know, of guiding them and helping them, but also letting them have that experience so they can learn those skills on their own.
And Kim, there was a pivotal time in your past about 8 years ago. You ran an errand on a cool day, decided to leave your 4-year-old son in the car. You cracked a few windows, gone a few minutes, but a parent saw that you left your child. What happened after that?
Yeah, well, I actually don't know that it was a parent. I never found out who the person was, but I was gone about 5 minutes, and someone actually saw this, recorded it, and called the police. And I was eventually charged with a crime, and this kind of went on for about a year and a half. And that was sort of the motivation for me in writing the book. Also motivating was that once I started to kind of be open about what had happened and how the experience had affected me, many other parents, most of them mothers, started coming forward and contacting me and saying that either something similar had happened to them, or, you know, even if there hadn't been a criminal issue, that they had had experiences like the one that the caller was referencing, of, you know, just feeling judged, feeling attacked, feeling mom shamed. And, you know, I started realizing that this is a real problem. So it's definitely something that I can relate to.
Is this something that, because it's been years since this happened, have you seen a change in yourself and how you approach parenthood?
Yeah, I think so, because, I mean, and it has a lot to do with this issue of judgment. You know, in writing Small Animals, I did a lot of research on sort of the things that we as a culture decide are dangerous or acceptable for kids to do, and how much freedom we give them. And one thing that I sort of learned in this process was that these things are not inherent, and they're not even necessarily rational. So just like to give one example, you know, a generation ago, it was completely normal for kids to walk to school. I grew up walking to school. People older than me grew up walking to school. Now, many people feel like this is too dangerous, and we all drive our kids to school. The reality is that, you know, a child abduction or kidnapping is something a lot of people worry about in terms of children being in public spaces. I learned, you know, in my research that you'd have to leave a child
unsupervised in a public space for 147,000 years, statistically, for them to be abducted by a stranger. And yet we've allowed this fear of like stranger abduction to keep our kids inside, to make, you know, to drive them everywhere. And so, you know, as I learned in writing the book, that a lot of our fears around children are not necessarily rational, and that they're culturally determined, and they're specific to a particular moment, I sort of had to embrace the idea that I was going to decide as an individual for my own children what I felt was safe and appropriate, and to let go of a lot of that fear of judgment or that fear of like doing things differently, and sort of accept that following my own conscience in matters of parenting and my own judgment was okay, even if other people didn't agree with it or, you know, wanted to do things differently.
Let's bring in another call now. Denise has thoughts in Burlington on this. Denise, good morning.
Good morning.
What is your situation like?
Well, I'm a young mom. I'm 30. I have three children, seven and eight, and I'm currently pregnant. And my biggest fear as a parent, as a young parent, as the lady that called before me, her fear is that people would judge her for being too laid back as well. But I'm like her, I battle that daily, and I feel like I'm too strict, and then I get judged for being too strict and for, I guess, being a helicopter parent. Like, I know my children are very capable, are very smart, but I feel like if I'm not there and I'm not helping them, then people are going to be like, what is she doing? Why is she not a hands-on mom? You know, and I feel like I want to give them that freedom, but I don't want to be judged for being too laid back and being a parent that's not present. And I think sometimes that stops my children from experiencing fun things and having new friends and going places, because I'm always fearful that if I'm not there, how will they cope and how will they do things? And I know that's not the reality, but I don't want to be judged because I'm young, and I don't want people to think that I'm always on my phone and I'm not paying attention to my children.
Denise, thank you for those thoughts. Have you felt that way for years now, you know, or did this start when you were, when the kids were really young?
It really started when my children started going to school, actually. Because okay. Before that, I wasn't interacting with other moms that much. I was a stay-at-home mom, and I kept my kids at home most of the time. But since they started going to school, I felt like it got more intense because they started making friends. And then I was like, oh, no, I'm a young mom. Everybody's going to judge me.
Denise, thank you. Kathleen, you know, this really started, Denise says, in those school age years where the social relationships really intensified outside the home.
Yes, I mean, I think Denise is speaking to something really important that I try to talk with parents about, too. I think the double judgment or double bind of judgment where you can't win either way. So I think that happens a lot to women. I think that just happens a lot in general to parents. And school age, it makes a lot of sense because you are exposed to other parents and other ways of doing things. And I think we're always looking around to each other to try to figure out what's normal or what's the norm. And so that makes sense to me that would happen, but it's so unfortunate. I think, you know, taking a position of understanding that families are all different and family values are all different. I mean, every family has their own set of values and things that inform their perspective and viewpoint. And so we have a lot to learn from one another. So I do think it's important to kind of approach each other from a place of support and encouragement and validation. As Kim said, you know, that was very helpful for her to get that validation from other moms that, or other parents that would reach out and kind of say, you know, I feel what you're going through. I think that's the approach that I would hope that we're all taking, but I know that's not the reality.
Kim, Denise said one thing in there that caught my attention, particularly about being on a phone, and that things happen with kids and parents are glued to their screen and they miss things. How does technology factor into how we are interacting with our kids and being present?
Yeah, well, I think it impacts parenting the way it impacts all sort of human relations, which is that it is unfortunate that everyone is sort of a zombie and glued to their phone and not really present. But I don't think that that's an issue that's particular to parenting. You know, I think it's sort of all interactions. And I do think one thing that's interesting is I wrote a story for New York Magazine, an essay a couple of years ago about this, you know, high-tech parenting coaching company that would sort of come into people's homes and set up webcams and give them like real-time advice. And, you know, when I was interviewing this one family, one of their big anxieties was screen time for their children. They felt like one of their children had a video game addiction. They worried about screen time, about how much time they were on their phone. And I went and I kind of stayed with this family for a couple of days. And of course, the first thing I noticed is that everyone's on a screen all the time, just the kids.
Let's just pause. Yeah, let's just pause right there as we talk with Kim Brooks, who wrote the book Small Animals, Kathleen Schiltz, marriage and family therapist, and Nina. Your thoughts as well, 800-642-1234. We'll pick up this conversation about parenting challenges right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're talking about parenting challenges here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And new research out of Brigham Young University finds that helicopter parenting may be less common than people think. And even when parents do hover over their kids' every move, it's only harmful if their motivation is control rather than warmth to them. And the study was published in the journal Emerging Adulthood. So what is your take on that? Can you see a difference between parental involvement that's supporting the child and helping them make that transition into adulthood, or is it controlling and perhaps manipulative? Join in with your thoughts, the challenges that you see at 800-642-1234. Marriage and family therapist Kathleen Schiltz is here, as is Kim Brooks, the author of Small Animals, Parenthood in the Age of Fear. Kim, when we were breaking for news there, you were getting to a point about parenting in this world of screens. What do we find there in our interactions?
Well, I was just saying that, you know, screens are everywhere. So they're affecting all of our human relationships, not just our relationships with our children. And I think it's very easy for parents to focus on how much they want their kids to be on screens. But, you know, I think it's important, like anything, to sort of model the behavior that we want in our kids and to create a culture and an etiquette around screens rather than trying to sort of impose rules on our children.
Well, let's bring in Jake now from Waukesha. Jake, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
So Brené Brown's a really awesome author who writes a lot about shame. And I felt like her points about the story that we tell ourselves when we tell ourselves that we're not good parents, that we aren't doing enough, it really kind of holds us back from connecting with kids and being vulnerable and partnering with them. Ross Green's another author who he does a lot of work with schools, and he's got three plans. Plan A is normally the one that we see parents use with kids, and really we use with each other, where we tell people what they have to do. Whereas Plan B is working collaboratively to identify the unsolved need and coming up with a plan to make it better. Whereas Plan C is realizing that the child isn't developmentally ready to work on that unsolved problem and holding off on it and working on something else.
Jake, have you ever had to talk yourself out of telling yourself when you were not doing a great job that you actually were just fine, that you're fine?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the hard part. My job is a special ed teacher, and it's really easy to kind of get wrapped into like, another teacher needs this kid to be compliant on some task, but the kid might not be ready. You know, they might have trauma in their background that prevents them from being able to meet that need. But then, you know, as adults, we feel that same shame as well. Teachers will assume that since they can't get the kid to comply with that task, that they're not good enough teachers, and then that causes them to want to take more control in order to not feel like they're being vulnerable. But when we embrace that vulnerability, it really changes stuff. Like, we have to be willing to realize that we're not perfect and that we're working collaboratively with other people.
Jake, thank you so much for bringing that. Kathleen, what do you hear in that about this escalation of shame?
Well, I definitely think Jake brings up really amazing points and things that come up in sessions all the time in my practice. So I think we don't give parents a lot of room to make mistakes, and we certainly don't give ourselves room to make mistakes. And I think we maybe sometimes hold ourselves to perfectionistic kind of standards. So I definitely work with folks to try to identify where there's room for self-acceptance over perfectionism or self-soothing and coping over anxiety. And I definitely love that Jake brought up the developmental piece that I think is really key to approaching parenting from a place of balance. If you understand where your child is developmentally, and that can be age-related or emotional maturity-related, but no one knows your child as well as you do. So I think approaching parenting from a developmental standpoint and focusing conversations and coping in an age-appropriate manner, so not expecting them to be too adult or not treating them necessarily younger than how they are, and also understanding the individual context of that child and their experience, or of the family and their experience. So families do have sometimes traumas or things that happen that can cause some of these anxieties to grow and get bigger. And I think as professionals, we want to make sure that we're understanding everybody's story and looking at the narrative that's present so that we can meet people where they're at and really walk with them through those things and guide them through those things from a place of understanding and empathy.
Kim, what do you hear there in terms of guiding kids to adulthood and independence and meeting them where they're at?
Yeah, I mean, I think that empathy is key. I really agree with that. And that, you know, what children really need is to feel safe, but to also feel free. I think it's the same thing that adults want. And I think that it's very tempting and natural as parents that we want to sort of see our children succeed or see them thrive or see them be happy. But, you know, I think it's important to recognize that we live in a culture that defines success in a very narrow way. It's a very competitive culture. It's a very results-oriented culture, you know, and there's a great line in William Dressowitz's book, Excellent Sheep, where he says, you know, we're not just teaching to the test, we're living to it. And so I think it's really important for parents to examine their own core values. You know, do I think that, you know, getting into an elite school is the most important thing, or, you know, getting on a career path where you're going to make a lot of money, or do I have other values? Do I value other things? And then sort of letting those values inform our parenting and our priorities and the priorities we communicate with our children.
We're talking with marriage and family therapist Kathleen Schiltz and parenting book author Kim Brooks. You can join in this conversation about your approach to parenting and the challenges along the way at 800-642-1234. Moms and dads, have you ever felt judged in public or online when it comes to how you raise your children? What happened and how have you worked through that? What about shame as you approach parenting? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Kathleen, I want to get into a little bit the anxiety and fear and the impact on kids. If a parent is feeling anxious, can that translate into the kids also feeling those same emotions?
Absolutely. I think, you know, as a systems or marriage and family therapist who looks at family systems, we know that anxiety is a natural part of a family system, that tension and anxiety happen in families. But once it does happen, it kind of creates a new problem. So the problems that may bring anxiety forward or cause anxiety can sometimes introduce anxiety into the system, but then anxiety itself becomes a problem that parents and kids alike have to deal with. So when I'm working with kids or working with parents, I'm really trying to look at the family system as a whole in the context of why anxiety might be showing up. And I do believe because parents have a little more power in that system and a little bit more control in that system, you know, they are in, and they're adults, they're in a great position to address anxiety and face that anxiety first, and to kind of look at their own feelings, their own tension, what's happening for them, and starting there oftentimes will lead to a discussion, as Kim said, about family values or what people value, and where maybe those values can help inform solutions to the problem of anxiety. So we want to use family narratives and family values to help guide, you know, what is going to address anxiety the best with the kids.
It's interesting you make that point because, you know, there are some times that I want my kids to feel more independent, and I'll throw something out there like, hey, I'm running to the grocery store, 9-year-old, would you mind staying here alone? And I've lately gotten, Mom, I'm not ready for that. Mom, I can't do that. I'm like, okay, I'll ask you in a month. But checking in that, you know, that we're getting to that time when, yes, you will be able to stay home. And I want to just throw it out there and, you know, float the idea and see what happens. What about that approach, Kathleen?
Well, I really like that approach. I think checking in with your kids and just finding out first where their comfort level is really important. And I also think, you know, talking about a culture of sort of a performative culture where we're looking at successes and narrow definitions, I think that's a really great point. And I would simply add that encouragement over praise or validation over praise can kind of help combat that a little bit. So I do think it's important to look at our kids and find the things within them, the internal resources, the things that they do well, the things they're good at, and then the challenges that they have, and bring those forward. I like it when parents kind of say, well, I do trust you with this and I trust you with that because of these reasons. So I think that can help encourage kids to push past comfort zones sometimes, but I also love that you're honoring, you know, the kids' comfort too. So I do think it's a balance.
Where do you find the right balance in kids growing up? We're looking at the challenges around parental involvement as kids move every day closer to adulthood and their independence. Your thoughts along the way on this at 800-642-1234. As a parent, do you ever feel judged by the choices you make in how you raise your kids? What happened to you there and how do you deal with it? Are we too worked up as a society when it comes to parenting? And baby boomers, do you find yourself hovering over your adult kids' choices? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Family therapist Kathleen Schiltz and parenting author Kim Brooks stay with us right here on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're learning about how to find a balance in parenthood, right? In the height of summer, when school-age kids are going to camps and parents are deciding what mix of downtime is appropriate, if there can be that time to fit in around parents' busy work schedules. And a new study out of Brigham Young University says being an involved parent or over-parenting isn't necessarily a bad thing unless it comes from parents who want to overprotect them from consequences and determine all of their outcomes. So what is your strategy with helping your young person grow to adulthood? Still time for you. 800-642-1234. Kathleen Schiltz is a marriage and family therapist, and Nina Kim Brooks writes about parenting. Her book is called Small Animals, and they stay with us. Let's go back to the phones now with Angela in Milwaukee. Hi, Angela.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I think my perspective is maybe a little different. So from my perspective, I maybe could see myself in listening through the show, maybe being one of those parents that maybe potentially has judged other parents. And the reason why I say that is, you know, I definitely, I can empathize with some of the callers who called in and said, hey, I feel like I'm too laid back. So I guess my perspective on that is what would we consider laid back? I think something laid back is like, hey, letting our kids go outside and play or letting our kids indulge in some sweets. However, if we're getting too laid back to the sense where our child's safety is potentially in danger, I think that's when it merits maybe potentially some of the judgment that I have. And the reason I say that, you know, I live in Milwaukee, and so recently my husband and I, we took our daughter to Grand Park. She's 2 years old. However, in Grand Park, there's a beach area, and then there's also a playground area. And if you're familiar with the space, there's a good amount of distance between the beach area, depending on where you're stationed, and then the play area. And unfortunately, there was a family of about 4 or 5, and there was also, you know, little kids, probably about anywhere ranges probably from like 2 to all the way like to 8. There was a teenage daughter or girl playing with a younger kids, and then there was also a grandmother who was on her phone FaceTiming. And unfortunately, neither one of these individuals saw that this 2-year-old had just wandered off, except for my husband and another family. And we were all like panicking, like, where's this little girl going? And so unfortunately, when you have, again, if you look at like maybe quote unquote from a cultural perspective, issues with like sex trafficking and abductions in Milwaukee and just kids, you know, from safety issues, getting either hit by a car, which we've heard several times this year, I think it merits a little bit of the judgment and the question of what are you doing? Because nobody had wandered or nobody had noticed that this little girl wandered off.
Angela, do you catch yourself doing this? Are you aware when you are passing judgment in your head?
Yeah, definitely. You know, for me, I would also look at that family and be like, hey, you know what? They're trying to be in the moment. They're trying to be present with the other kids and have fun. However, this other girl walked away. So it's like, okay, well, we're trying to be present. Are we being mindful of all of the kids? So from my perspective, I think it takes a village to raise a child. So I'm passing the judgment. I also am going to say, hey, you know what? As a parent, I feel like it's also my job to be mindful of other kids around me as well.
Thank you so much, Angela, for bringing that. And Kathleen, it takes a village, as Angela says, that she is very aware of those other kids at that playground and by the water.
Right. I think she's onto something. I think, you know, we are a community, and I think safety is number one. And so looking at, you know, how to keep children safe is really important as a community. And I also, you know, I think that judgment helps us navigate situations. So I don't want to judge judgments or see judgment necessarily as good or bad. But definitely we need to use our judgment to navigate situations. And I do think every situation doesn't warrant judgment of other parents, but some situations judgment allows us to react in a way that does keep children safe. And so I'm glad that Angela brought up those points and actually is willing to talk about how important it is to look out for kids in general. I mean, I think there are plenty of dangers. I do agree that maybe we don't have to be hypervigilant, but I do think being vigilant is, you know, it's part of caring about kids too.
Yeah.
Kim,
I'd love to disagree a little bit with some of this. I would like to judge judgment. You know, I do think it's a great point about it taking a village. And, you know, what I would say to Angela is, like, that's awesome that she, as a parent, feels concerned not just about her own kids, but about other kids and, you know, keeps an eye out. But, you know, I would say instead of judging, maybe skip the judgment and just help out. You know, if you see a kid wandering off toward a body of water, of course, you know, do something, intervene, help out. But I don't know why we have to make that leap from helping another parent or helping a kid stay safe and judging that parent. You know, I think any parent knows that, you know, raising kids is a very hard job. Parents are stretched thinner than they ever have been before. Many of us don't have support networks. We don't have extended family to help. We can't afford childcare. And I think most parents, not all, but most parents are genuinely doing the best they can to keep their kids safe.
So, you know, it's frustrating to me that, you know, those kinds of observations don't just lead to a spirit of community, of helping out, of having each other's back, and instead it's, we jump to this place of, well, I wouldn't do that, you know, or I'm going to judge that parent. And I also think that it's important to just note, you know, Angela mentioned, well, we all know about these, you know, sex trafficking and child abduction cases in Milwaukee. A lot of those stories that we hear are not factual. You know, they're sort of overinflated fears. A lot of them are shared on social media. And, you know, when we actually look into them, we find out that, you know, these are not the threats that we should be worrying about. You know, one section in my book, I point out that, you know, the greatest threat to our children right now is type 2 diabetes and obesity. You know, 50% of children are overweight. Another threat, anxiety, depression. There's a mental health crisis from children. You know, but we don't worry about those things. We worry about, you know, oh, my child's going to be kidnapped by a sex trafficker. And so it's important to, you know, when we are judging someone's fear or lack of fear, to really, like, have the facts before we even jump to conclusions about what is and isn't safe.
Kim, if there was one step or one thing we could change today in our relationships with our kids and in helping them grow, what could we do to create a more positive environment and a more, you know, just beneficial relationship in order to nurture them and get them onto adulthood?
Yeah, I think that, can I say two things?
Yes.
I think the two things I would say is that, one, I think that, you know, fear is natural. Anxiety is normal. We all you know, many people struggle with it. But as parents, I think we have to assert our right to be rational. And just because we feel irrational fear or anxiety doesn't mean we have to capitulate to it. It doesn't mean we have to base our decisions on it. So that would be the first thing. And the second thing is, I really think we need to re-common the process of raising our children. This is one of the greatest changes we've seen in a couple generations, where there's been this shift from thinking about, you know, our children in the broadest cultural sense and sort of all adults and members of a society or a community taking responsibility for helping in the raising of kids, whether it's, you know, the neighbor sitting on the porch or you know, the aunt who lives down the street. You know, I talk to a lot of parents in promoting my book, and one thing I hear a lot from, you know, people who are like a little bit older than me is people will say, you know, well, I used to walk 3 miles to school every day, or I used to take the bus to visit my grandparents in another city. And when I ask, were your parents afraid to let you do that? What people often say is no, because they always just told me if I get in trouble or I need help, ask another adult. And that they always did that. And we've had this shift where now we view each other not as, you know, people who could potentially help each other out, but we view each other as everyone's a potential threat to my children. And that kind of mindset, I think, is really toxic to raising kids.
Kim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Kim Brooks is author of Small Animals, Parenthood in the Age of Fear. And Kathleen, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Kathleen Schiltz is a licensed marriage and family therapist and the owner of Valley Counseling Associates in Neenah. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. On Point is coming up next. You are listening to the Ideas Network.